to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. I am Dizzy, and I'm here to welcome you and just let you know that we are Catholic, but you don't have to be, and it might even help because we do swear a little bit, and we may just edge up to the line of blasphemy
sometimes
and heresy.
We might cross it.
Yes, and my co-host Guess letting us know that it's a fine line that we jump over.
Yeah.
But we have libations to help us, so what are you drinking today?
Today I'm drinking a great white beer from North Coast Brewing, and I have dumped roughly half a lemon in here to make it...
Why would one do such a thing?
Juiced up with all the goodness that I was missing
out.
I got the juice.
That must be Easter then.
Well, it's a white ale, so it deserves a little citrus, and it's Easter, so I'm putting, like, literally...
It must be Eastertide.
Yeah.
Guess is floating.
I'm lemoning.
Lemons in
his
beer. I'm
liming, I'm mandarining, like anything I can get my hands on. So,
well,
what are you drinking?
I did not drop an avocado pit in my beer because I have respect, but I did follow your lead with some lemon to accentuate the loveliness of my Lagunitas Doppel Weizen, which is a Hefeweizen with lots of extra wheat in
it. Well, it's a double. It's got extra wheat and extra alcohol.
You can't see through it, actually. It's let's not judge.
I
feel like a little judginess. This is Easter. I am feasting. It is 50 days. Is up feasting.
It's almost 9% alcohol. That's all I'm
saying.
It's
delicious, everyone, for our benefits.
Cheers to making it through Lent and arriving in Easter.
Happy Easter. He is risen.
Indeed. So, today we're going to be taking a look at, actually, first off, you may have noticed if you're someone who likes to look for us on Saturday because we usually post on Friday, we weren't there.
Nope.
It feels more appropriate to be doing this on Sunday.
Yeah, we want to celebrate Easter. You know, we started this as kind of a Lenten exercise for us. So, hey, if you've been listening, thanks for hanging in with
Fridays
us
are
all
for Lent.
The way through Lent. Yes, Fridays are a Lenten
As the
thing.
Cure would say, it's Friday, I'm in Lent.
Oh my gosh. But now it is Easter and there's no song about Sunday being an Easter thing.
Well, unless you're
Guess
in church.
Guess we'll find one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, every Sunday is an Easter thing.
Right.
Resurrection. Wow, we just circled right back to that Paschal mystery.
And here we are.
Okay, well, let's take a look back, though, because we did survive 40 days of fasting with varied success. So what worked for you looking back at Lent?
So it was interesting. You know, I mean, if you guys have been listening to kind of like every episode along the way, you've kind of been there in the struggle for us with, like, what we've enjoyed doing and what has been a challenge for us during the season of Lent.
The sheer length of it. Whatever.
Right, yes.
Whatever.
But, like, I found that, you know, so I was reading my poetry, my Hopkins and my T.S. Eliot, and it was, you know, early on in Lent, there was this light bulb moment of, like, oh, T.S. Eliot might be a little bit of an anti-Semite, and that was that was a Good Friday moment
when
for me.
When our heroes fall.
That was a Good Friday.
Separate podcast coming your way.
But I really thought that, like, if I took my time and worked my way through, that there would be a lot of, like, fruitfulness of, like, thinking and contemplating those poems, like, every day.
Yeah.
And what I found was, like, two or three. Out of
you found
40 or 50 poems that I read that were, like, some of them, you know, like, they were very good, but, like, it was not a daily, you know, opening up to God.
Okay.
So that one was kind of like not as bright of a light as I was hoping it would be. It was a little dim. But what it did lead me to was kind of like I would every night, you know, read my poem and then kind of take a moment to reflect. And I just would do like a quick prayer after reading poetry.
Yeah.
That was kind of like my prayerful time.
Sure.
So I didn't have like an elaborate prayer. Sometimes I pray the rosary like during Lent before I fall asleep or something like that.
It was more open-ended.
It was just kind of like a quick like, hey God, thanks for today and let's have another good day tomorrow. And I found that to actually be a really useful prayer.
So just to throw you on the spot for a sec, if you had to recommend a poem, which one was your favorite of Lent, or what do you want to throw out to the listeners if they have not done the deep dive that you did into Hopkins? And
I mean, so there's two that I would recommend, and one of them is
going
this,
big, folks.
This long,
do you have it memorized?
Sweeping,
are you going to recite it?
No, it's this massive kind of like poem in five parts.
Excuses
by T.S. Eliot that gets you to.
No, I don't want to hear T.S. Eliot.
Hey,
come on now, you already
a man of his times. All right,
we've heard that one.
I know, right? Little Gidding though was what actually made me want to read Eliot in the first place because it's a poem that's this massive epic and I love it. It's all about arriving at the same place with new eyes to see the world differently.
Okay.
So you should be able to return to the same place and see it differently. And I do feel that's a little bit about what Lent is all about and arriving at Easter and seeing the world in a different way. So Little Gidding, kind of got to power through it.
Okay,
but it's good.
Good.
And then Hopkins, man, gosh.
He's a classic, and I feel like most people who are of the churchy persuasion have probably heard some reference, if not a full Hopkins poem.
I think the favorite one that I discovered about him.
Go ahead and pick a classic. Yeah,
Peace. I think Peace was probably
and
my favorite
one. And that is not a super well-known one, so that's a good rec. All right, so check out Peace by Gerard Manley Hopkins, S.J.
Yes,
and,
S.J.
Indeed. I'm not even going to throw out for your Elliot. They can find that on their own.
Little getting. It's a good one.
Well, for me, in Lent, I gave up supposedly sleeping past 5 a.m. and that was not very successful. It happened, but it never bore any kind of spiritual fruit. And I think in the future, if I ever do that again, it will have to be going to bed earlier. Might make that something more reasonable.
Harvesting the spiritual fruits can be difficult at that
early
hour.
I got spiritual rocks. Yeah. I got mustard seeds. No. But giving up the avocado was kind of fine and was sort of a thing that was on my mind a lot. But actually, something that wasn't even specified for me was the daily examine prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's something I kind of do in different seasons of my life, but I actually ended up doing it almost every single day during Lent in various ways.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep myself centered. And actually, I'm pretty into it still. So it's like carrying into like this Easter, and it kind of changes and kind of a rediscovering. So I would encourage anybody, for an easy way to pray a couple times a day or even just once a day, check out the examine. And I'll try to throw something up on the blog about
it's good.
A very easy way to pray. It's not, it's formula, but it's not a hard one to do. And
finding God in all things in 5 easy steps.
Yeah. And then you could read Hopkins right after.
Totally. Well, you know, on the note of like giving up avocado and not being that challenging or
it was hard.
Difficult.
It was.
But like, you know, same thing for me. Like, it wasn't necessarily all that difficult to like, it was never a huge sacrifice when I realized that I had to not have
lots of little sacrifices.
But it was like constant. Like,
it
was always
every day.
And I found that as like a good reminder that A, it's Lent, and B, like I should be a little more mindful and a little more prayerful. So I think that's something that I would like to continue in years to come, is rather than thinking about what am I going to give up that's going to be like actually changing my life, like what can I give up that's something that I would encounter every day?
Mm-hmm.
And in giving it up, it'll be a reminder to turn myself a little bit more towards God during the season of Lent.
Yeah, that's I'll consider what I found that as point. I choose your penance for next Lent when I tell you what you're giving up then. You can
Fair
think
enough.
About it for both of us.
I will.
Okay.
I will. I enjoyed it.
Good job
on my assignment.
But we're in Easter.
It's Easter
now. Jesus is resurrected, and we kind of celebrated inappropriately a little bit on Good Friday with our lamb episode, just because we love lamb so much, but also we had good reasons.
Yes.
But it has taken us into our feasting season, and we kind of chatted about how Lent is this marathon.
Yeah.
And then if you are churchy folk and you went to all the Holy Week events, by the time Easter Sunday comes around, or the vigil, if you went to the vigil, you feel like you've hit the finish line.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not what we're supposed to feel like. You got any thoughts?
Well, you know, so I think there is kind of a Lenty hangover effect that comes with Easter, right? Like, everybody's
literally,
all on board in Lent. And if you go to Mass, you know that it's Lent because they got the purple up.
Mm-hmm.
And you
There's
know...
There's no A word.
We totally understand all about what we're doing for Lent.
Yep.
And then Easter arrives, and there's Holy Week, and it's an intense period for people who are really invested in the church. And if you're not really invested
and
in the church...
And it's longer than we ever actually... Like, Catholics go to Mass for about an hour.
Yeah.
Like, most of the Holy Week stuff is over. Like, it is really a lot more than we typically do on one day, and then there's a bunch of days in a row.
Totally. And even if you're not, like, super churchy, right? But you go to, you know, Easter Sunday Mass, and that's, like, your one time, you know, to do it before Christmas or whatever it is. Like, there's this feeling of, like, okay, it's Easter. It's time to celebrate. I was saying how, like, I was, you know, we follow just a couple of folks on Twitter with, like, the at Church Drunk Pod. And I'm, like, following them and looking and being, like, on Sunday, everybody's, like, Jesus is risen.
Hallelujah.
Like, it's a big deal. Like, let's all celebrate.
New life.
And then it was like silence for at least a couple of days,
everybody's
because
like,
everybody's burnt after
sleep.
Holy Week, right?
Yeah.
So there's kind of this hangover effect. And actually, a wise man once told me that drinking to excess is like stealing happiness from tomorrow, right? Because we've all had those nights where you drink for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. And then the next day, you're sick for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours,
you're
right?
It's going to get you one way or the other.
So there's this one view where we have 40 days of fasting followed by 50 days of feasting. But it also could be like 40 days of fasting followed by a day of feasting. And then 49 days of like, what do we do now? You know, like
Easter isn't fun. Right. It's supposed to be fun.
So yeah, the question I think that we end up with on the table is, what do we do to celebrate and honor Easter as its own season? It's time for celebration.
Yeah.
You know, you have this stretch where Jesus
We don't
is,
have these built-in things. Like, nobody adds some celebratory, joyful, or grateful practice to Easter season like we do taking away something in Lent. So it's not as, like, there's no traditions, really, for Easter. Like, there maybe there used to be, but in the modern age, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot, yeah.
No, but I think the gospel stories are really great in Easter. I would say that's kind of one of the big highlights. Like, they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that there's ever, like, bad gospel stories, but, like, I feel like Easter is the season of, like, favorites. And right now, especially in the first few days after the resurrection, we have, like, all the apostles having their various interactions with Jesus. And Jesus is such a good guy. Like, he's making breakfast. He's calling Mary's name. Thomas, whatever you got to do, we will figure it out.
Here's the holes. Do what you need to do.
It's really, like, this sort of golden moment.
It is.
For the apostles before their hard work begins.
And I think that's important to keep in mind, is that it is a golden moment for the apostles, right? There is not... You don't get a sense that Jesus is reveling in this moment in his return. Like, hey, guys,
no,
I'm so happy to be
filling their
here.
Buckets so
Let's
they have something.
Let's have a party. It's more like...
It's very intimate with
them.
Yeah,
like,
all.
Here I am. I'm here for you. Guess what? Yeah. I've returned. There's these moments of incredible faith, you know, where it's like their eyes are opened in the breaking of the bread.
Right.
Or, you know, like, they start to realize the presence of Jesus in their midst.
It's emphasized to us this, like, almost unbelievable goodness of reality,
yes.
which is something I think we all long for. Like, you know, C.S. Lewis has the beautiful image of you wake up from the dream and it's the real, you know, the holidays are over, the real thing has begun.
Right.
Well,
so, I mean, I guess you could look at if Lent is 40 days for me personally, and I say this literally for me personally, to realize, like, how much of a fuck-up I am on how many different levels, then
a
Easter is the time to realize how awesome Jesus is in comparison. Like, how great God is compared to my shortcomings.
And that you have today and tomorrow, maybe, to live in that.
Right.
You know?
And that there is not an end to the story of God in my life and Jesus.
No, it's audacious
ministry.
Hope, and I think that's something we're all... desiring of anyway in our lives, and for me especially, like, I want that new life.
Yeah.
I want to believe that there is some way that this actually comes out good,
totally.
That there is going to be life after whatever death I am seeing in front of me. I need that hope. I think we all do.
Absolutely.
So that's a hopeful thing.
Yeah. And I think for me, part of the way that I'm going to try and honor the season of Easter this year, which is only in the last maybe 2-3 years have I really started to think about how am I going to honor the season of Easter. For me, it's going to be about kind of changing my attitude from repentance to gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, like be more grateful, more mindful of...
Get out of your wallow. Yes, you're a fuck up, we know. Come on now, what you going to do?
I broadcast that
both
too
of us.
Readily. Yeah, thanks for just... Yeah.
No, I'm like, yes. What
I like
will
that.
You do?
Yeah,
to
second
a
person
no,
tense
no,
no. that you're
I mean,
using.
You... The you of the world. Each of us. Me.
The royal we.
Sure.
But you know, recognizing the things that I really am grateful for, and that is very much part of the examine, you know.
Yes.
And also recognizing that, like, that is Jesus. That is God.
Yeah.
Those things that I'm grateful for, my blessings, they're not just given to me by God. They are God. Like, that's the resurrection.
Right.
You know?
And that being mindful of them is a holy practice.
Mm.
So every little thing counts. And gratitude's a great place to start. And I think hope and gratitude go hand in hand. You know, if you're grateful for something, then you have a hope that something good comes out of that, or that there will be following good, or another thing to be grateful for. In the next moment, we can find something good, then we can look forward to the next moment.
Yes. And it's not an especially hopeful time to be...
It is not.
...an American...
I'm sorry.
...in our world.
Dear listeners, we're just going to say that out here.
Easter
Jesus
could
is
be.
Resurrected, and yet we have to have marches for science.
Marches for science. And I threw a little something on the blog about, like, you know, is there a more appropriate way to finish the first full week of Easter than with that March for Science? Because as a planet... we're fucked.
We need to do things for our planet, our mother, and we need to
the Earth. Connect with that sense of resurrection. Like, there is hope, even in a hopeless situation.
I think our second episode was Environ Lent, and in that one, if you're interested in kind of Catholic-y stuff, if you haven't listened to it, having to do with climate change and, and what we believe about that, you should check that one out.
Well, and you were saying but, that the Catholic Climate Covenant had something else
going on. So, some final kind of shout-outs for... For the Easter connection there is, you know, Laudato Si, tons of great stuff with that, and Catholic Climate Covenant, which has come out of that and is paired with the USCCB, the Bishops' Conference, has some great resources for Earth Day and beyond. So if you're looking for something little to do in your life as both a spiritual practice, good for the Earth, show that you care, be grateful, you know, go to their website, check them out. They're doing good work.
Yeah.
And throw them a couple bucks if you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, support them in any way that, that you can. And, you know, like, I think the way that I kind of finished that blog post was like, you know what, like give to the organizations that you care about, speak out as an advocate, go for a hike or an adventure.
Yeah. Like, go out and look at the beauty that is still, if only temporarily, existent.
Whatever calls your name to be looking around you and recognizing the presence of God, and however you give thanks for that, like, give that thanks. And I think that is my personal challenge to me for Easter is like, okay, so Lent is all about like my interior work, right? Mm-hmm. It's a spring cleaning inside to get myself ready for Easter. Well, Easter needs to be much more about, and we do, we talk about how Lent can be an outward reaching season as well. And
right,
it should
but
be.
Not as much.
But Easter is really about looking at what does the resurrection give you in terms of a motivation to go out and have an impact on
the world? Well, and that's very, you know, scriptural too, right? Yeah. In the days after the resurrection, the early church, the new body of Christ, it's all about sharing what you've got.
Right.
You know, that's how this community thing works. You have gifts and they are yours to share. Mm-hmm. So go out, Easter folk. We are an Easter people.
We are an Easter people. And we need to be reminded of that sometimes.
Hallelujah is our song. Yeah. Okay. So
my Easter citrus will always remind me.
My double Weizen reminds me of the goodness of the hops of the earth. Delicious.
That's good Easter.
So speaking of good, delicious libations, we have, as always, not always, but almost always, a couple cocktail recipes. You get a twofer, Church Drunk listeners.
Double down. Do we want to start with our Easter one or our cocktail of the day?
Well, go ahead. You're on the you're on the cocktail of the day, so it's
today is the Feast of St. George, and if you
Slayer
know much
of Dragons,
about
patron
St. George,
is he of the UK or just Wales?
We'll go with
okay, he's one of them.
And yeah, so George,
Anglophiles, let us know. Somebody knows
if you've seen any, you know, images, the icons of St. George slaying the dragon. That's his deal, right? Like if there's ever something in church and you're like, why is that person killing a dragon?
And it looks like a snake.
That's St. George. Yeah. Slayer of dragons. So today is his feast day.
And what does St. George drink on his feast day?
St. George's drink is actually, it sounds quite delicious. We haven't tried it yet, but it might be next on the agenda as soon as we're done recording.
Don't shake that up.
So you get 1.5 ounces of gin, a half ounce of dry vermouth. So essentially your basic martini components here.
We're on a strong start.
A dash of lime juice, which actually I think is a pleasant addition.
I know why guests picked this one.
Dash of lime juice to your martini. And then this one, it says 3 olives stuffed with blue cheese specifically. I'm cool with that. If I were making this for Mrs. Guess, she would ask me for some other type of olive because she's not down with the blue cheese. So
any olive will do.
I'm sure you could substitute.
I'm sure Pinterest can show you how to make olives into a dragon or
something. St. George does not discriminate. Yeah. And then you pour all that stuff into the shaker. Well, you don't pour the blue cheese.
Yeah, you're supposed to spear the olives in those.
Yeah, so you shake up your gin, vermouth, and lime juice, and then you spear the olives, representing the spearing of the dragon.
As the dragon died.
Then you use that as your garnish. So it's basically a martini with lime, and then you throw some blue cheese olives in there as your garnish.
I can't imagine a more perfect Eastertide drink.
St. George, Slayer of Dragons.
Unless,
drinker
of course,
martinis.
You want some fire in your cocktails.
Yes.
So this is just an Easter-themed drink. And once again, much thanks to the book Drinking with the Saints by Michael P. Foley, who has inspired many of these. So this is the sunrise, which is a nice... If you drag your ass out for a sunrise Easter service, you for sure get one of these.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. But what do we have in parentheses after the sunrise?
Flaming
sunrise. That's my favorite part of it.
Sunrise, in parentheses, flaming.
Because I can't imagine anything better than going and arriving at the empty tomb to finish the burial rites and have Jesus be like, it's a flaming sunrise! is!
I'm back! Okay, so to make this divine drink, you mix lime juice and sugar until the sugar is dissolved. So half an ounce of lime juice. Squeeze some lime into a cup. Throw a little bit of sugar into it. Mix it up till it's dissolved.
There we go.
You warm about 1.5 ounces, which is like a big shot of cognac. But don't make it too hot because you're going to put these ingredients in a sherry glass and set a light. That is what makes the sunrise flame.
There's the flaming.
You'll burn some of the alcohol off. Probably not enough to serve to your children, but it will be a great party trick.
Maybe your eyebrows go with it. Who knows?
Don't lean over the flaming sun.
Yeah, no, don't stare straight at the flaming sunrise.
Sunrise. He has risen. Okay, so make one of those drinks. Let us know how they are.
Yeah.
We'll probably make the St. George before we ever make a sunrise flaming cocktail.
I don't trust myself with flambé.
I don't either.
But maybe some of you out there are trustworthy with an open flame.
Cool.
So this is going to kind of wrap up
our first arbitrary season.
We have decided.
Not our podcast seasons, but somebody feeling like we're done for a little while.
Yeah.
So... but we actually started with the intention of just podcasting through the season of Lent.
Yes, this was our challenge to ourselves.
And libations.
And success. A few of you guys along the way have, we know that folks have been listening to every single one. We know that some folks have been dropping in. We know that some of you guys are just kind of new to it in the last couple of weeks. And we hope that you've enjoyed kind of following us through Lent. It's been exciting for us to have to kind of answer the bell week after week, and also like keep the blog updated and stuff like that. We hope that you guys have enjoyed reading and listening.
If you have, or if you'd like to hear from us again, we want to know.
Yes.
So you can follow us on SoundCloud.
Yes.
And then we'll know that people like listening to us. So if you do, if you think we should come back for another season, please click follow on SoundCloud.
Yep. It will ask you to make like an account so that, but it's just like you enter your email address. It's free. It just lets us know that there are some folks that want to hear more to be alerted.
Right, and that way when we come back, you'll see it.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to do that, you can tweet at us.
Yes.
At Church Drunk Pod.
At Church Drunk Pod. Hit us with a tweet or follow us on Twitter, and we will always send out an update when we update the blog or when we post a new podcast. Because we are talking about doing just a couple of kind of randos throughout Easter
it's a long 50 days. We'll give you guys a shout out.
Maybe we'll do an Ascension one or a Pentecost one or something like that. So just to kind of keep, knock the rust off. And then if there's enough folks that are saying, hey, let's keep going with this, then we'll probably do a season 2 maybe over the summer.
And we'd love
to
hear from you if there's a topic that you think we should talk about, if you have an opinion or a question, anything really, we'd love to just hear from you.
Yeah, we're really good. I don't know if you guys have mentioned, have heard us mention this yet, but like we know Lent as a church people. But to do ordinary time podcasts, we're going to be relying on you for ideas.
That's a long green streak on the calendar.
Email us, churchdrunk@gmail.com, or tweet us at churchdrunkpod with ideas for what you want to hear.
Too. We haven't ranted as much as we want, so.
Well, we kind of set out with this. That's something interesting. We thought that we were going to be like ranting a lot about the church because that's what we've done for most of our life. But then we found out that
we just get dragged right back.
We kind of keep ranting about like the world at large, and the church has been sort of a bastion of sanity.
Life is funny that way, which just explains why we're still here.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so
thanks,
follow
Church
us,
Drunk listeners.
Tweet us, email us.
And thanks to those who already have. Like, that's
thank
been really
you for
cool.
listening.
We hope that your Easter is filled with drinks.
Absolutely.
And sunrises and audacious hope.
It's feasting time, so.
Feast away.
Answer the bell. We are going to be coming back at some point, perhaps with season 2, and we'll let you guys know again, on the website, on Twitter, on SoundCloud, and, we look forward to continuing the whole journey here.
Hit us up, churchdrunk@gmail.com, and I think that's all we've got. You got anything else?
I got that. I think we're good.
Hey,
so,
cheers to you guys.
Cheers
and
to you.
This has been the final
cheers
Easter
to season, one.
Season.
Hey now.
Church Drunk.
Church Drunk. Where we are waiting in joyful hope for the coming, or second coming, or third coming,
whatever he wants to do,
of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hey. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys later.
Peace.